Welcome to Love Amped, an exploration of healing others through healing ourselves. Check out loveamped.com for additional resources and support.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome back, my friends, to Love Amped. I'm your host, Seth Pearson, and this week we are talking with my friend Kirk Barnett. We are on a camping trip with a bunch of our friends, and I just figured this is a perfect time to see what is going on with Kirk Barnett in the world of self-love and what he's been through. So we got quite an intense episode here, so buckle in and enjoy. Holy shit, here we are outside in the wilderness with Kirk Barnett and many more. Uh-huh. And I feel like today we're gonna talk about some hard-hitting shit.
How hard?
Probably as hard as a stone brick.
Wow, that's pretty hard, man.
Mm-hmm, yeah. You'll notice I go, like you as well.
Right.
I'm picking up a lot of your...
You're stealing all my mannerisms.
Yes, yes.
Are you also stealing my mannerism where I get hard?
Yeah, oh yeah,
hard
absolutely.
As a stone.
Yes. Okay. Oh, absolutely.
That's good. It's a good one to steal, man.
My unit has never been stronger.
Nice.
Ever since I met you.
Well, I would advise you to be a little soft, because if you're too hard, like a stone or a brick... Probably somewhat dangerous.
Yeah, well...
Like, for your friends.
I'll leave that for myself to decide.
Oh, really?
Thank you very much, yeah.
Wow.
Kirk, I think you want to start this podcast off in your own favorite way. So, I want to hear it.
With a song?
No, your own way. No, like, where do you want to start this bad boy?
Where do I want to start? Well, man... I think that I would like to start with your first question.
Wow, Kirk Barnett, when did you realize that you had to love yourself?
Many different times.
Tell me.
I don't think there's a singular time, but I would say there are times when it happened.
Wow, tell me about the first time.
I can give you those specific examples.
Yeah, give me top three.
At least. How about I give you bottom three?
Okay.
I'm just kidding. top three. Well, if we kind of go backwards in the timeline, one that's easy to remember is deciding to sort of like give up, for the most part, like drugs. And like... taking substances, smoking weed. I never really drank that much, but, you know, kind of keeping that in check.
Yeah.
And I think that's, like, a decent place to start on a topic that's, like, related to so many things.
Yeah.
Because for me, smoking weed was never just about, like, having fun. It was about so many other things, too. Such as, like, forgetting a tragedy of my life, or trying to stay awake, trying to work more hours a week, trying to pull, like, you know, 80 to 90 hours. Trying to basically just force myself out of myself so that... I could just do things that I really don't want to be able to do.
Weed helps you work more?
Yeah, definitely.
Really?
Yeah. When I'm really high, like, I can work for, like, hours and hours and hours. And pretty much the only thing I have to stop to do is use the bathroom and eat. And when I get high, I don't really get the munchies at all. And if I do, I usually say, like, oh, I'm fucking stoned. Like, don't eat anything.
Okay.
That's done. So the thing I don't need, you'll notice, is sleep when I'm stoned. I can just stay up pretty much as long as I want. Mm-hmm. So there's been cases where I stay up like 36 hours working. Just like...
Holy shit.
Yeah, just working on an animation or on a piece of art or, you know, whatever it is. And as you can imagine, while that gets a certain amount of work done and has like a vibe to it, it also is like very painful and like not sustainable.
Yeah.
You have to sleep at some point.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, after just doing that a lot, and sort of like kind of becoming addicted to that feeling of being like, I haven't slept in so long and this hurts, but I gotta just keep working, or I want to keep just working. It took like a few instances for that to collide with other things in my life to really show like how damaging that could be.
What were those other things?
Yeah, those other things were sort of like hurting people and
you, Kirk Barnett? Hurting people?
Yeah, definitely.
How?
In a couple different ways. Like, so I love work. It's my favorite thing. And in many cases, I will choose work over socializing. I will choose work over friendship. I will choose work over sleep, obviously, as I just said. I will choose work over just a lot of... a lot of things.
Yeah.
So... from that, choosing it over things, I chose it over people.
Yep.
And one of those people was my ex, and it became this sort of like reason to end the relationship. It was a big like cornerstone of why it should be over.
Mm-hmm.
Is that I worked all the time. Mm-hmm. In her eyes. And that damage and that pain was sort of like irreversible. Like it wasn't something I could fix or take back because I didn't regret it. I wanted to work.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't regret it now. Those are the things I chose to do. So, I think that level of intention means that I did hurt someone because I chose that and I saw them hurting and I heard their words, but I didn't change my ways.
Mm-hmm.
So that persisted and ended up in just like annihilation of a relationship, and which is actually a really good thing. I'm so glad that happened.
Mm-hmm.
But I can't ignore the fact that it did hurt someone. Right.
Yeah, right.
Right. So, another case I would say is just sort of neglect of my family. There were so many times when I could have gone home for a holiday or, you know, called up one of my brothers or my parents and just talked to them for a little bit.
Yep.
But instead, I didn't do that. I, like, consciously didn't do that. I, like, sat at my computer, and if I got a message from my parents or my brothers, or if I got even, like, the feeling that, like, oh, I should talk to them, I just didn't.
Mm-hmm.
I said, nah, I'm doing this. I want to finish this. I want to make it better. I want to make it cooler. I want to make it, you know, whatever it is, more cute or more sexy. And I just, it's a hard, I don't want to call it a habit, but like, it's a very hard, thing to break away from.
So you had, say like, weed that would help you work more and you enjoy work. When did you start enjoying work? Like, was like, why work?
Why work? Oh man, that goes like so far back.
Because work isn't just work to me. Work is, like, being creative. That's just a word for it. Like, instead of work, I could say animating. Or I could say pixel art. Or I could say game development. Or I could say, I also like to fold up paper into little animals. Like, that's just cool to me.
That's great.
That's what I consider work.
Gotcha.
Yeah. You could call it creative work, I guess.
Okay.
Doesn't mean I'm getting paid for it. Mm-hmm. Just means it's something I want to do. Mm-hmm. And it's something... that I do with my hands, and it's not what you would consider vacation.
Yes.
Yeah.
Wow. I mean, I think that's really fucking cool, because not everyone, like, falls in love with a process. So a lot of people fall in love with outcomes, but...
Right. Yeah, and I like both. Mm-hmm. I like doing it, and I like seeing the result as well. But when did that happen? That's hard to say, man. I mean, like, we could go all the way back to childhood, or even just, like, being a teen. Like, there was a point where... How do I even explain this? All right, so usually, day-to-day as a young child, my parents gave me a big list of shit to do. Like, a big list. It was, like, pick up sticks, tend to the garden, mow the lawn, scrub the floor, put away the dishes, put away the laundry. Just all that shit. Chores, right? And if I didn't do chores, it meant no video games. Oh, so guess what I did?
A lot of chores.
I did about half the chores, and then I snuck the video games.
Brilliant.
And then I got in trouble because I didn't finish all the chores.
Oh, my
And that gosh. Happened a lot.
Kurt.
So much.
Come on.
So, yeah, eventually I just kind of, like, did the chores, right?
Yes.
And then eventually, after growing up, that sort of, like... consistent, like, stick to a thing and do it is just, like, I don't know, that's just how I live.
Okay.
I mean, that's probably where that came from. Maybe that's not right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Back when you were, like, smoking more weed, you mentioned, like, traumatic experiences?
Oh, yeah. Totally, man. So, the short story is that my brother killed himself. And he killed himself in a very, like, brutal, not great way. And when he killed himself, I wasn't really talking to him. And it's not that I wasn't talking to him. It's just that I didn't choose to talk to him.
Yeah.
I could have. I could have picked up the phone. I could have visited. I could have done all this shit. But I had a lot going on in my life. And, like, of course, what was going on in my life was just work.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I had started up an indie studio, mm-hmm. was working on this game that ended up failing. I had gotten really sick. I had gotten surgery and recovered through that. And I had also, like, we, like, lost where we were living. We had to move. It was, like, all this shit just sort of, like, compounded.
Mm-hmm.
And, and I also got a new job. I was working with John Romero, which is the one of the designers of Doom and, like, Quake and stuff like that. I met him at GDC, and I ate lunch with him and his wife, and they were super cool, and they gave me a programming job, oddly enough, working on... What the fuck did I work on? I worked on, like, this... Basically, like, a kid's game about fossils... Harold. Kids game about fossils doing Lua programming.
Okay.
Yeah. Anyway, so one day, and this was like that whole series of events was like a couple years or something. And I would say during that couple years, I talked to him like twice.
Okay.
And by choice. And, then, do you want the full story or the half story?
I want the full story.
It's a pretty sad story, man.
We gotta hear it.
Okay, so, couple years, talked to him, like, twice. It's, like, Christmas, right? And right after Christmas, in January, there's GDC. So, I think so. Maybe it's the next month. Whatever. So, I went to GDC and got the job with John Romero. And when I came back, there was an email in my
inbox. And the email was from my brother.
Yeah.
And it was a gift. It was like a Christmas gift. And it was dated at Christmas. So I actually didn't read it. I missed it. Mm-hmm. And the gift was some comic books that were digital. Right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's just on some website where you can download comic books. And I read it, and it just said, like, hey, Kirk, I love you. I thought you might like these. Check them out and let me know what you think. It was very simple. And I wrote back, and I was just like, oh, hey, man, I missed your email. Like, so sorry. I was really busy over Christmas in the past month. And I don't know. I didn't see this. But, like, thanks for the comics. That's really nice of you. That's awesome. I'll check them out. By the way, I got a new job. And the new job is with John Romero. He worked on Doom, you know, like, so I'm, like, learning a lot. And I'm trying to just, like, do the best that I can with that. Right?
Yep.
And then, like, I would say very shortly after that. I had this job for, like, less than a month.
Mm-hmm.
Probably like 2 weeks later, I'm just typing. I'm just coding some bullshit. I'm coding something that's important to the game, but not important to my life. And I think it was like pathfinding or something. I didn't know pathfinding, so I had to learn it and then code it. And as I'm coding it, my dad calls me and he just says like, hey, stop what you're doing. I have to tell you something. And I'm like, oh, okay, what's up? And he says, your brother's dead. And I just get fucking pissed. Like, yeah. I'm so fucking angry.
Oh, yeah.
And I basically jump up and leave my apartment. And then I go to this Greek restaurant and I order two gyros. And I just, like, furiously chomp on them. I just eat them both.
Wow.
And I'm, like, so pissed, and I'm, like, I don't even know what I'm saying. Just a bunch of shit. I'm talking a bunch of shit. And then I'm just getting more and more phone calls about what's going to happen, that I need to get a plane ticket, that my parents are going to meet me, that the funeral's, like, tomorrow. Like, wow. It was the next day.
What the heck?
Yeah.
Jesus.
So then I'm, like, sending emails to, you know, my boss, trying to just get everybody in the loop and also, like, pack a bag and get the fuck out of there. So, yeah. I mean, that's kind of, like, there's, like, more story to what happened at the funeral and bullshit like that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's, like, the event.
How did you, besides, you know, the, like, furious eating, like, how did that affect
you? How did that affect you other than gaining, like, yes. Half a pound?
Yes.
I went into this state where I didn't work for 2 years, and I had anxiety attacks for, like, 6 months.
Mm.
And I kind of just laid on the floor and did nothing. Mm-hmm. And I questioned everything in my life. I quit my job. I didn't make any money. I had no way of, like, I don't know. I had no way of, like, doing things, I guess, except for being a part of the relationship I was in, which made our relationship way worse.
Mm.
My ex became very angry and, like, hated me for it.
Oh,
and
wow.
It was just, like, this huge, it was bad.
Yeah.
Yeah, and so at that time, I started smoking cigarettes again. I started drinking a lot. I started smoking weed a lot. I don't really do other drugs, so I didn't upgrade to anything.
Mm-hmm.
But I also just, like, hung out with bums. And, like...
Really?
Yeah. I hung out with, like, a lot of meth heads and, like, learned how to play pool, which was actually a really good thing. I like that part.
Yeah, yeah.
Learned how to play pool from, like, a speed addict. I would just, like, chill outside all day and just, like, get fucked up and just talk to people.
Where would you find these, like, meth heads?
Out in the street.
just walk up to them, start talking? Like, why them?
Because at that point, I was sort of, like, questioning so much in my life that I kind of felt like everybody's suffering. And I want to not know what they're suffering about, but sort of, like, just be accepting of whatever.
Okay.
Like, this is where I told you this sort of, like, on a different day. But I was sort of just, like, indulging in social interactions no matter what they were.
Yeah.
Even if they were bullshit, even if they were negative, even if they were worthless, I would just sit and listen and talk, you know? And so, hung out with, like, a lot of alcoholics, and I didn't become one myself, but just that's where I was putting a lot of my time.
Yeah.
And I think I could look back on that and say maybe surrounding myself by people that were suffering made my suffering feel less painful. I don't really know.
Oh.
Something like that.
I mean, you still felt like you were learning.
No. No, man. There were points where I wasn't learning anything. I was just a receptor.
Okay.
I was just, like, getting input from whatever.
Okay.
I would just eat shit, or, like, listen to shit, or, like, watch something.
So even, like, listening to these, like, people tell their stories, like, it didn't help you figure out any more about yourself and how you're processing
it? Not always.
Okay.
I would say, like, sure, on some levels, but no, not always. A lot of times it was just noise.
Okay.
Just to, like, fill the gap.
I see. Oh, hold on. We're walking up a log here. We're outside, by the way, guys. We are near a river.
Yeah, we're climbing as we're talking.
Probably could have heard the river at this point a lot.
It's what I would call, like, sensory filler.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Gotcha.
And then, because I wasn't working for so many years, I did the same with weed. Now I was smoking weed but not working. So I was staying up late and doing what? Just, like,
just whatever.
Exactly. Whatever walked in front of me.
When
I would just be like, okay.
When did you have your first anxiety attack, and what was that like?
Like, I would say, like, the day after the funeral.
Okay.
Came home. Yeah. I was really, really angry before the funeral. Then at the funeral, I was, like, still angry, but just, like, silent.
Were you angry, like, directed? Was this anger directed toward yourself or just the world or just life?
Everybody and myself.
Okay.
Especially, like, the family his, like, you know, his wife.
Yeah.
And just the people surrounding him, you know? Like, not saying it was, like, well-placed, but sort of, if you, like, really love someone and they go somewhere else, like, he was in the military, right?
Yeah.
And he was a naval officer and all this shit. He, you know, he worked with a lot of people, had a lot of friends. My anger was sort of directed at, like, why didn't you guys take care of him? Why didn't you notice this might happen?
Or
why did you maybe cause this to happen?
Yeah.
Or just, like, you know, every different version.
Yeah.
Basically, like, you guys fucked up.
Yes.
And now you want to have this, like, big-ass fucking funeral and say, like, oh, well, and dude, okay, this was a naval funeral. There were hundreds of people.
Whoa.
There was a giant projector of photos of him.
Yeah.
There was, like, music and, like, the sermon was very religious and very, like, I don't remember exactly what he said, but the priest said, like, and I know for certain that God looked down at your brother and he picked him up and took him off to heaven. It's like, dude, he fucking killed himself. Like,
yeah.
Like, that's great, but, like, is that helpful?
Yeah.
Does that do anything? And the one thing that it does is it keeps people calmer and it lets them grieve in a way that's, like, positive, even if it's bullshit. But it just made me really fucking mad. Right. And, yeah, I didn't talk to anybody at the funeral. Not a single person.
Wow. Yep. You just kind of showed up, sat down.
I wore, like, a black hoodie and black sunglasses. And just, like, and you know, the rest of my shit was black, I guess.
Yeah.
Or something. Mm-hmm. But I, like, didn't talk to anybody. I didn't interact with anybody.
Yeah.
And his wife couldn't even, like, come near me. She was, like...
Whoa.
Yeah, she was, like, a fucking crying wreck, of course.
Uh-huh.
And yeah. Here's a little bit of humor. His son was just, like, playing with an iPad.
Was just, oh, like, no. How old was this kid?
Like, 6.
Oh, man.
Yeah, just playing with an iPad, having a good time.
Oh, jeez.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah.
Damn.
Ooh.
Yeah. Ooh.
There's actually a funeral story before that.
Please.
Oh, really? Okay. So the funeral story before that is that there was a private viewing of the body. It was open casket.
Whoa.
And it was really fucked up, I guess is the summary.
Yeah.
An officer picked us up and drove us to the private, like, church where the casket was. And we walk in, and there's nobody there. She didn't even come in. It was just family. Just family and my ex and my brother's wife. And as soon as we walk in, everybody takes a turn, like, looking at his body. And this is, like, a fucking church, man. It's, like, deep, right?
Yeah.
We're all sitting in the back, and each of us walks, like, however fucking far to, like, look at the body. So they're far away. And my mom is just, like, shrieking with tears.
Damn.
Like, so hard.
Yeah.
And there's a couple things I remember from this. One is that I was mad.
Yeah.
Like the rest of the story. And then... The other was that when my dad went up, he's bald.
Uh-huh.
And the light from the window was just, like, bouncing off his head and just, like, shining really brightly. And he was talking. And he was, like, talking to the body. And I couldn't hear what he was saying. And it, like, took a while. And I never asked him what he said.
Huh.
And I probably never will.
I see.
So when it was my turn, I went up to the body. And you ever seen a dead body before?
I don't know. I haven't, actually.
Okay. You ever seen a dead body of someone you love?
No.
Okay. Well, I would say they basically age.
Oh, really?
If you're young and you die, your body ages.
Okay.
And so they look way different.
Wow.
Also, the way he killed himself was he jumped out of a building like 30 stories up or some shit.
Holy shit. 30 stories?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Yeah. So,
oh my god.
He died from landing on his head or his face. And this is an open casket funeral.
What the fuck?
So when I get up there, I look at his body and he's just, like, aged, and they put, like, really bad makeup on him, and
yeah.
his skull is, like, visibly, like, scrunched.
Yeah.
And they sewed his eyes shut. They removed the eyeballs. He had, like, fake hair, and, like, it was really, really bad.
Yeah.
Right? And so I'm just, like, looking at him for a minute, and then I just say, "You look like shit, bro."
Wow.
And then I walk away. And as we walked out, the officer, she was crying, and she was like, "I'm so sorry, I just want to hug you," and I had to, like, refuse her. And after I saw his body and said that, I didn't talk for like a couple days, or not a couple days, but like I didn't talk for the rest of the day. So I had just nothing to say to anybody anymore. So yeah, that's kind of like the full story, not told chronologically.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn, dude.
Yeah.
I am, well, you know, just very, very sorry.
Yeah, oh, that's okay, man. You know?
All that's
okay. But thanks. Appreciate it.
But.
Yo!
What a great guy. Look at that.
I'm sorry too, man.
Yeah. That is unfortunate.
Yeah, so how do we rewind this?
Rewind forward to the kind of the anxiety attacks, like what would happen, how you would deal with them, like how you would get out of them.
Oh, ooh. The anxiety attacks were here, maybe we should like just because for safe space, for the safe, the people.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. I don't mind telling the story. I just don't want to.
Oh yeah.
I don't want to wreck the buzz.
Oh yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Because that's not like the nicest thing to be talking about while someone's trying to chill. Yeah, exactly.
Well done.
Okay, so the anxiety attacks were very much like accelerated heart. Couldn't really stand up. I would like get really tense and just kind of just lay down, I guess, as much as I could. And yeah, I would be really afraid. And I would feel like I was breathing, but that like air wasn't doing anything. And this was like when I was like sober. This wasn't like
me
getting really high or really drunk. This was just happening. Pretty much any random fucking time I remembered that he was dead and that he had done this to himself. And that fear comes from someplace like very specific, but it's kind of scary. So maybe it's too hardcore for your podcast.
Not at all, dude. This is a hardcore podcast.
Okay.
It just has a cute front.
Like a rock.
Yeah.
Like a stone.
What's a stone?
Like a stone or a brick. A rock or a brick.
It looks cute from the outside.
Yes.
But it'll wreck you.
But it'll catch you.
Yeah, exactly.
But it's hard. Okay, so most of my anxiety attacks were induced by this recurring thought. And the recurring thought was that when he jumped, that as he fell, he changed his mind.
Yeah, right.
And, yeah, just, like, branching off of that in every possible way. Like, oh, I could have changed his mind. Or, oh, I could have called him. Or, oh, why didn't he call me? Or, I don't know. Just all that bullshit. And why didn't fucking somebody else call him? Yeah. So I had a lot of those. Sometimes
so the what
multiple
ifs.
A day. Yeah, all the what ifs. Multiple a day. Yeah. So that's when I started smoking a lot of weed. And I found that weed would make me forget. I would like literally forget that this happened.
Yeah.
As I was stoned. And then as I started to come down, I would remember. And so then I'd just smoke more. And then I go back up and forget, come down and remember. Go up and forget, come down and remember. And I just do that all day for, I don't even know, for a long time.
Wow.
Yeah. So, yeah. Eventually, to lead this back into your podcast, like, that reached sort of like a critical health point. It was like my lungs were so fucked that I had trouble breathing. Like I had trouble like doing things.
Wow.
Also just like, I don't know, like I would smoke and not really have panic attacks, but I would feel really, really bad.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, weed was not... My body was not happy with weed anymore. And the new way of smoking weed for me was to get really high, feel really sick for, like, a couple hours, and then feel good when I was sort of, like, coming down.
I see.
And so I would just push through that sickness over and over to get the come down. And that's how I would do work.
Okay.
So... yeah, it reached this point where it was, like, clearly hurting my body, just taking up a lot of time, obviously taking up money, but I couldn't fucking do it anymore. And, yeah. So I would say,
yes,
to answer your original question, that was one of the times I realized that I need to love myself and not just find these sort of like smokable solutions to my feelings.
Yeah.
And sort of like face my feelings head on and try to balance them, accept what's happened and... not just forget, but remember, learn from it, and take actions based on myself, based on the past, based on the future, because previously I was really just bumbling.
Yeah, right. Just like...
Yeah, and I was intentionally bumbling.
Yeah, do you feel like you were attached to that kind of, that anger, that maybe victimization, I guess? You was like,
attached, what
would
you, it?
What like, you like with bumbling, it seems like you're usually like attached to the feelings or like this or the emptiness, like you're attaching yourself to it and not like you said, like facing it head on and then like kind of starting the process of like letting go. Or
oh, I see what you're saying. Okay, that's like a tricky question, because before I was trying to detach, but through this sort of like artificial means, or through this like means that was easy, but didn't actually detach me. So
gotcha.
I was detaching in small amounts over and over.
You were like holding a little rubber ball in your hand and throwing it in the air, and then catching it, instead of putting the ball away, or being like, oh, I'm like older, like why am I playing with a kid's ball or something like
that? Well, here's where your analogy...
However you want.
Yeah, well, your analogy could be more positive because you don't have to put the ball away. I think instead of throwing the ball in the air, you can like bounce the ball, or you can dribble the ball, or you can shoot the ball through a hoop, or you can bring it with you.
I see.
I think that's fine.
Yeah, that's that. Gotcha.
You don't have to get rid of it. I think I think attaching yourself to things or events is like negative, of course, but I think using them as tools is positive.
Definitely. Yes. Yeah, using them as ways to bring more positivity in your life or growth or, you know, helping others, etc. etc.
Yeah.
Wow. What would you say? I mean, What are these other... You said there was, like, that was one of the main...
Oh, yeah, that's
moments
a big one.
Of loving yourself.
Yeah, and it's sort of intertwined in a couple different things.
Yeah, you mentioned your relationship and how it went, like, south, and you're glad that it's over. Like,
yeah, that's the other one.
Okay.
Right.
How would you say, like, if you, like, loved yourself or the moment you loved yourself, like, how... that would have
change things or like?
Oh, because
you make it better.
Oh wait, sorry. I totally jumped the gun on your question.
Oh,
it's
nice.
Like, I have an answer, but that wasn't your question. So what's your question?
I want your answer.
You want my answer?
Yeah.
Okay. My answer that's not answering your question was, I thought you were gonna say like, how did you know you should love yourself, or like.
Go
that,
for
is
it.
Is that your question?
There you answer
I'm
that.
Ruining this podcast.
No, not at like, all.
We're going from I hard
want,
as a rock
I want this.
To like soft as a snail. Right
not, well, soft as a snail, but then the snail's going to find its hard shell later. You know
oh,
what I'm saying?
Shit.
Huh.
Very nice.
Thank you.
Yeah. So my made up answer is just like, I wasn't loving myself when that happened.
When that happened?
When the relationship ended and became very much like, this was my fault.
Right.
That was the vibe. Is
yes.
This is Kirk's fault.
Yes.
And Kirk is an asshole. And Kirk works all the time. And working is stupid. And making things sucks. And fucking, we should just be like, out in the world every day. Just like, doing whatever. Basically, my ex wanted to bump. And I was like, I just got over bumbling.
Yes.
Like, I'm trying to do other shit. Because I don't know if I mentioned this, but, like, the whole dead brother is, like, 5-6 years ago.
Okay. Gotcha.
And the breakup is, like, a year ago.
Gotcha.
Year and a half ago.
Just put things into context.
Yeah, like a year ago.
Yeah.
But, yeah, at the time of the breakup, I got, like, really fucked up over this because I felt like maybe I did fuck this up.
Yeah.
Maybe I shouldn't have worked. Maybe making games isn't important. Maybe the things that I love destroy other things and just like are bad. And it took me, you know, like it took me a couple months to come out of that. Because I just, like, once again, stopped working and was confused.
Mm-hmm.
Was like, should I be an artist? Is what I make worth it?
Mm-hmm.
Which ultimately I realized, like, of course it is.
Mm-hmm.
It's something I love. It, like, comes out of me without me forcing it.
Yeah.
So, it's, you know what it is? Loving myself. Making art is a form of self-love.
That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So I sort of had to like re-find that answer.
Yeah.
And be like, yes, this is very important. I do love it and it loves me.
Mm-hmm.
And even if that means that it sort of like ends one path.
Mm-hmm.
And I have to walk another, that's totally okay.
Yeah.
And I'm willing to do that. I'm, like, excited to do that. To
definitely.
See where it goes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so far, it's going great.
Yeah. I would say so.
Yeah.
I would say so. When you said, this is something that we talked about before, but you mentioned that you experienced her being very, like, angry, and then you would have to like manage that.
Oh yeah.
Like, was it, and it sounded like, and I'm learning more about this myself, is more like codependency stuff.
Oh.
And enable.
What have you learned about codependency?
Here we go. Yes.
Seth?
He's throwing
what have
it.
You learned?
He's one of the first guests to throw it back at me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Great.
What's your experience with codependency?
What is what my experience with codependency? I have found. And I'll start it with the broader sense and then go specific, yeah. Is that I found that I really like helping people.
Uh-huh.
Obviously through this podcast is one way of helping people. You know, doing stuff with helping people find, you know, like find themselves through like doing like MDMA or like psychedelics or like just talking it through, just general psychology stuff, just helping people figure out themselves and like what's going on.
Sure.
And which is great. find that very fulfilling. You could almost say it feels like it's my purpose, but who knows? Whatever. But I recently found myself in a position where my first time being in a relationship, and the relationship was about me helping them.
Right.
And how, like, that is not what a relationship can be for me. And just knowing that I would kind of stay in the relationship because I enjoyed helping and fixing, even though it was, like, totally draining me and, like, sucking everything out of me.
Right.
And making... there'd be points where my body would just feel awful. Like just physical pain. And that was definitely more near the end. And like when I realized, I was like, oh, this is not, this is not good.
Yeah.
And, I would, you know, I'd be walking around, during the day by myself or driving to work. And I would notice that, cause like knowing what someone's going through that you're like intimate with, like I would just start like tearing up. I thought it was for other reasons, but
wow,
it totally wasn't. Because once the relationship ended, like, you know, after
all that,
that like few like weeks of like recovering from that, but like, yeah, that's 100% gone away.
Wow.
My body feels way better. It's crazy. It's absolutely bonkers. And like, there was, I don't know. Yeah. So, and at first I was like, why, like, what is this? Like, what's going on? And I talked to, my friend Emily, who was on the podcast, and she was like, it sounds like codependency. And I was like, codependency? What do you mean? I thought that's when like someone's addicted to something and then they latch on to someone.
Right.
But then it's like, no, it can be the other way around. It can be that you are like...
You're dependent on giving them help.
Yes.
You're dependent on like basically having like positive assertions.
Yes.
Especially with a case that's like very, very, very negative.
Exactly.
By case, I mean a person that doesn't love themselves.
Yes, exactly. And it's crazy because... My, you know, people have lists of things that they look for in, like, relationships and stuff. And after I saw someone, this is a different person, someone for a while that was, like, addicted to cocaine, I, like, realized near the end that, like, oh, this person does not respect themselves. Like, holy shit. And
shit.
Luckily I wasn't, like, deep into that. That was just someone I just, like, saw very briefly.
Right.
But, I noticed the pattern of like, oh, I would have like potentially been in that longer or something like that. And that would have been another like codependency.
Oh yeah. Nightmare.
Nightmare. Yes.
Yes.
Daymare. And
for sure.
Do. And so, yeah. So that's when I figured out the self love thing is like number one, like fully loves themselves is like number one on my list. And I broke that thing again.
You did.
Yeah.
You totally broke it again.
Totally broke it again. And even the person told me was like, you know, like, I don't, like, sometimes I do, but, like, I don't all the times. And, like, my thing was like, well, like, I was like, I recognize that, but I also see that, like, you want to be better at that and are, like, actively trying. So,
right.
Like, that, like, seeing that, like, they're actively trying with that plus me. It's like, oh, it could totally happen.
Right. That level of trying was attractive.
Exactly.
To be like, I can fix this.
Yes. Yes.
And you didn't.
Totally didn't.
Yeah.
Totally didn't.
Right.
Feels good to say it out loud.
Yeah.
And I mean that. Yeah. Hello. All right, podcasters. We'll see how much... the river sound here gets picked up. Put in wind.
We're crossing a bridge right now.
Crossing a bridge.
Not metaphorically.
Yeah.
Not a bridge of life.
No, not at all.
But a bridge of the forest.
Don't take the physical realm too metaphorically here, guys. Unless you want to, and then I recommend it.
Yes, definitely.
Then I absolutely recommend it.
Yeah, so I didn't. Mm. I obviously put that in the forefront of that person's mind at all fucking times, but right.
So you sort of wrap both answers together.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
That was your experience and what you learned.
Yep.
Right.
And
what did you learn about yourself, though? Because that's what you learned about other people. It's partially about yourself.
Yes.
But, like,
well, I've learned now, like, the type of people that I'm potentially, like, attracted to, so I can course correct that in the future. I read a book called Codependency No More, or Codependent No More, mm-hmm. so that was really good, informal. Yeah. And then seeing a counselor at the moment, just to, like, go through stuff, like, just identify more things of where these habits are picked up from, totally from parents, totally from my mom.
Right.
Having codependent patterns with my dad. And a lot of, you know, I just keep finding more and more that we learn a lot of habits through our parents, and that's fine. You don't have to rag on your parents. It's just like, you just have to be aware of this stuff and just learn from it.
Yeah. I have, like, a simplification I'd like to say.
Please.
Which is just that, like, good things aren't always good.
Mm.
Just because you're making a choice that seems like good or helpful or positive doesn't mean the outcome is good.
Mm-hmm.
And doesn't mean it's good for you.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe great for the other person.
Right.
Doesn't mean it's good for you.
Yep.
So, I think a lot of that stuff can be predicted.
Yes.
A lot of it can't, but through just sort of, like, repetition of, like, being with this person day in and day out, like, I don't want to say you should, but, like, you need to learn what that outcome actually is.
Yeah.
And, like, measure its value.
Mm-hmm.
Because I feel like you stayed with her not based on the outcome. Not based on the value. Mm-hmm. You stayed with her for, like, love and respect to being together with someone for the first time. I think mm-hmm. you even told me that.
Oh, yeah.
Like, oh, it's my first real relationship. And I was like, that's mm-hmm. not a reason to stay in it, man. It's not a reason to hurt yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Just, like, be careful of that, man.
Absolutely.
Careful of, like, the allure of, like, positive energy.
Mm-hmm.
And analyze what that actually means.
Yeah.
And how you feel about it.
It seems just so much clearer these days.
Yeah.
Just in which
good,
is
man.
Fantastic.
Very good. That's cool.
And yeah.
Hey,
yes.
We're coming up on the camp. Can we do, like, a part two? Is that okay?
Absolutely, okay. We can do a part two. We've done part two multiple times on this.
I feel like
cast.
We need to take a little break.
Absolutely.
And
this has been great.
Yeah.
So far.
Yeah.
I can't wait until part two. Stay tuned.
Yeah. Stay. Stay. Stay tuned. Stay. Stay tuned.
Love and. It's just crazy what people have to go through in this life. I just want to thank Kirk for being so open and honest about what he's gone through and how he feels about it and what he's done to cope with it. If you know anyone that is having suicidal thoughts, please encourage them to get help. And just know you're not alone. Not alone out there. So, yeah. Till next time, gang. Love yourselves out there. And check me out on Twitter, Seth_Pearson. We'll be posting more resources on there. Also, check out loveamp.com for just intro to self-love and other resources and reaching out to me. So love yourselves out there. I'm gonna say it one more time. Love yourselves out there. And by the way, be kind to yourself. Till next time.
This was Love Amped, a podcast by Seth Pearson. Check out loveamped.com for more info on today's topic.